Okay, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. We will start this gathering as we normally do with an opportunity to greet one another on the board. So let me get this thing going and play our opening song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Well, that was abrupt. It's nice to see all your messages. Kathy, you're chill as always. Yeah. So let's see what we do first here. We talk about our statement of purpose. So let's look at that. It says, our purpose is, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I will also read you the core value that seems most applicable to what we will be speaking about this morning, and that is our fifth core value. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. I'm trying to figure out how to get out of this full screen. There we go. And let me find you guys again. So for announcements. Okay, first of all, I'm going to invite you to join us tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time for our guest satsang, where Regina Dawn Akers will interview Dr. Jeffrey Martin, author of The Finders, a scientific work that studied the enlightenment experience of thousands of subjects. And I'm going to play you, I'm going to play something for you about his work on YouTube. This is not intended as an advertisement, but it seemed to me it was the best way to tell you guys about Dr. Jeffrey Martin's work. So I'm nervous for some reason. So let me once again share my screen.
For millennia, mankind has asked the question, who am I? In pursuit of an eternal truth. Across all cultures, all traditions, and all philosophies. With dedicated practice and commitment, these explorers of the inner world would spend a lifetime just to catch a glimpse of an answer to this question. And those who caught more than just a glimpse found something indescribable. Something beyond the limitations of the self. An awakening into a persistent state of inner peace and well-being. A state of flow, joy, and ease. Yet there are no guarantees for the adventurous. There are those who seek but do not find on this quest. Dedicating years to practices that yield no fruit. Having no map for awakening. But in 2006, a group of scientists set out to research the phenomenon of awakening. Traveling across six continents and studying various lineages, they cataloged over 1,000 methods. And over the course of 10 years and 9 trials, they isolated 26 as the most effective. A millennia of wisdom, distilled into 26 practices, combined with the best methods that Western psychology has discovered for lasting happiness and well-being. The Finders Course Protocol is the first roadmap to awakening, integrating ancient wisdom with modern science to safely, quickly, and reliably bring about transformation. Built using gold standard psychological measurements and the latest biometric technologies, the subjective experience of awakening has finally been made objective. And most importantly, the protocol works. 99% of participants reported significant improvements in key scientific metrics of well-being. Reduce stress, reduce negative emotion, decreases in depression, increases in overall happiness, increased sense of life meaning, even significantly improved relationships. And for the majority, 73% of participants experienced what can only be described as an awakening, a shift into a persistent state of inner peace and lasting well-being. Now, for the first time in history, those who seek can truly find.
Okay, so that was fun. I'm back. So I thought that was a fun introduction to what they're going to be talking about tonight. And Regina shared this the other night in Gentle Healing 3. I shared a little bit in Gentle Healing 1 about what those practices were. We didn't talk about 26 of them. But it's helpful to know that several of the practices that that study found effective are things we're learning here practices that we're implementing in our own spiritual study. So it will be very interesting interview. I'm very excited to attend and hear what Dr. Martin has to say and what questions Regina has for him. So please join us tonight at 7:30 for that satsang. The next announcement, I'm also going to play you a video. Let me get it pulled up. And that is for this month's, let me find y'all again, for this month's movie. Our movie watchers discussion group will be next Sunday, June 21st at 8 p.m. This month's movie is The Adjustment Bureau. So let me once again share my screen.
You're that guy running for Senate, aren't you?
I am that guy, yeah. Are you a registered New York voter?
Do I sound like I am?
David!
I gotta go. Sorry.
How was that?
I don't know.
Challenge me in those shoes?
What is this?
We are the people who make sure things happen according to plan.
We monitor the entire world.
Oh.
Can't outrun your fate, David.
You've just seen behind a curtain that you weren't even supposed to know existed. This is your plan, and we're determined to keep it that way. You bumped into a woman this morning on the bus.
Were you just staring at my legs?
I was defenseless against the dress.
What does that have to do with anything? Your path through the world is supposed to have been adjusted. You weren't ever supposed to see her again.
If you truly love her, just walk away. Stay with her. It not only kills your dreams, it kills hers.
I don't care what you put in my way, I'm not giving up.
They're making a run for it.
What the hell is going on?
I need you to trust me.
Okay.
All I have are the choices I make, and I choose her.
Just remember, we tried to reason with you.
All right, so it's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. Jay will be leading the discussion. Jay has provided us with a play sheet. The play sheet can, a link to the play sheet for the movie can be found on our website under Audios and Videos, Sanctuary Highlights, Movie Discussion Group, introducing this month's Movie Adjustment Bureau. So, like I say, the movie's fabulous, and I'm sure the discussion will be fabulous as well. The next announcement is an invitation. Let's see, I'm still sharing my screen. Let me stop that. All right. Is an invitation to join us for the Freedom from the Judge Retreat, which I will be leading at the Retreat House in lovely La Vita, Colorado. That is July the 12th through the 14th. It's a weekend retreat designed for those of you who cannot take the time off for a full week-long retreat. In this retreat, we'll look at the voice that most of us identify as me and see it for what it is and what it does. We'll explore the ways in which the judge can be identified and thus disregarded rather than engaged, pacified, or bargained with. Participants will learn practices designed to disidentify with the thinking mind, which is freedom from the judge and the suffering it induces. For more information about this retreat or to register, visit www.atretreathouse.org. Also, I want to invite you to join us for the Natural Meditation Retreat. At this retreat, you'll learn to focus on the I Am Presence to the exclusion of all else, as taught by Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj and his guru, Sri, I don't know what that is, Siddharameshwar Maharaj. You will determine the difference between the I Am Presence and the ego. You will observe how your ego attempts to distract you from the I Am Presence. You will have ample opportunity for meditation, contemplation, and journaling on your own, as well as spending time in group instruction and discussion. Much of this retreat will occur outdoors in beautiful Colorado. We will also explore how you can be motivated to meditate after you go home from that retreat. And that retreat is led by Regina Dawn Akers, again, July 22nd through the 26th. And you can find out more information about that, again, at that same website, atretreathouse.org. And there's a final announcement that I want to make, and that is that beginning in July, we are going to have a new lineup of ministers. Regina sent out the call to our ministers and asked folks if they wanted to be in the rotation that we do for our weekly gatherings. And so let me just tell you what the new lineup is. Beginning July 7th, we have Helen Avery. The 14th, I'm not going to give you these dates. I'm just going to tell you the order that they come in. So beginning on July 7th, Helen Avery, Shauna Summers, Regina Dawn Akers, Rayla Daniels, Gloria Wells, Meg Reinhart, myself, Dolores Mavens, I don't know how to say the rest of her name. Let's see. Add in, oh, Dolores, I'm sorry. Your last name. Add in Con, Dolores Mavens. Jay McCormick, Billy Sentiris, Helen Avery again, Shauna Summers, and then it starts all over again. But it's basically a new rotation. It's a 10-week rotation. So it should be It will give us an opportunity to hear many different points of view, and I am very excited about this new lineup. So I look forward to that. All right, let me play now our opening song. Not our opening, but let me play you a song. Share my screen one more time. So at this point, we will take a moment for prayer. And as always, I'd like to express my gratitude for this opportunity to share, to teach what I would learn. To hear the greater wisdom that resides within me. In love and gratitude, thank you. Amen. Okay, so now we're going to have a reading. And Ruby Nasser is going to do that reading for us. And this is from a book by Jack O'Keefe, Born to Be Free. Ruby, I will turn this over to you. Ruby, the mic is yours.
Hello. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's go. This is from Born to Be Free. That which you are is beyond time. Beyond. Can everybody hear me okay? My voice? Because it sounds, okay, that's perfect. That which you are is beyond time, beyond all thought. So it is regardless of whatever you are doing or not doing. Abide in the self. Observe from the I am, or plug into the restricting dualistic personal world. Either way, the self remains unchanged. All arises from the self. So all is unfolding from that place that is returning to that from whence it came. All rivers flow to the sea. Once they merge with the sea, the water that was a river no longer exists as river water. Trying to identify what water in the sea was river water is not possible. It loses that which is made separate. It loses its individuality. River water is not concerned about losing its separateness. It flows towards water and becomes water. Yet it always was water. Such is the emerging of self. And I'm talking about capital self. From one perspective, there is only one thing that stops you from abiding in the self, the fear of losing your consciousness of existence. From the world of identification, you lose your current experience of the world and your identity within that realm. So relative or individual existence is pulled like a rug from underneath. But coupled with this, it is revealed that such existence was only a thought, that your identity was nothing more than a conglomerate of self-created and adopted ideas taken to be true. All your concepts of the world are wiped away like one removes cobwebs from a corner. It becomes crystal clear that all you thought was real was nothing more than all you thought. The reality quality to it was also a thought. As a river loses itself in its merging with the sea, it no longer knows separation and therefore cannot rise to the thought that it was a river. It is at home. It now is the all that is, and no thought arises. So, without thought, there cannot be an individual who exists apart in any way. To exist apart is the thought. It is never the reality. Only the self is real. Neither can you know the self, for to know it, you need to know it, and then we have two again. One who knows something that can be known. This presents the triad of knower, knowing that what can be known. Knower, knowing, and knowledge. And as you may have guessed, such a triad is only a possibility in the world of form. Self cannot be known. Self is absolute knowledge, not needing to be known or knowable by any knower. It is absolute, not containing qualities or characteristics, because attributes are their opposite. Absolute is self. Self is absolute. But do not take my word for it. Sit still. Be quiet. And don't engage with any thoughts that come. Just let them pass without your interest. Do not search for the self, for it would be like your eye trying to see your retina. You are self, the I am, and you can enjoy form. Your mind can take you to form and the formless I am. To go beyond the mind, simply stop thinking. Stop using the instrument that creates the concept of you that you hold so dearly. Let mind relax. Thoughts will come and go. Do not let your attention cling to any thought in particular. Let go, relax, without any effort at all. Just settle. No doing, no effort. You will find that you do not arrive in any place. There is only remaining what always was and always will be outside of time. You are that. Abiding in that, there is nothing to see, feel, or know. For feeling, seeing, and knowing are functions of the mind. Without mind, there is no memory. And so self is always immediate, new, and fresh. There is silence, peace, and no desires. Therefore, there is no sense that this cannot be it. No feeling arises that there must be more. Absolute totality is present. In becoming familiar with this spiritual knowledge, you will see that to say that you are this or like that is unreal. These are concepts only. Identification begins to lose its stickiness. If you're willing to release your investment in it, you will see that the mind is not even an entity, rather is a concept. All that is transient and impermanent is not beyond the influence of thought. I'm going to read that again. All that is transient and impermanent is not real beyond the influence of thought. You will see that all of life, the forms and the formless, are nothing more than images reflecting in a mirror, which is self. The mirror is unaffected and not unaffected and not perturbed by what it reflects. You will see that you are out of it, free from the drama of identification with form and formless. You will see that you never left self, that you cannot be other than what you are. Only in the imaginings of thoughts that had no real existence did an idea of a person with a life arise for a while. You will see that all that is temporary is unreal, and it will seem totally ridiculous to continue to believe in an undisputable existence of what is transient. If this unfolds itself as truth to you and not simply an intellectual exercise, then you are out of it. If this unpacks from a natural aperture, you are out of the drama. Freedom and liberation are limited words, but they point to the direct experience of happiness and joy that arise from this unfolding. A natural acceptance of life unfolds. The harmony and order pertaining to every detail of this physical life is revealed and remains obvious, as if it all happens according to common sense. Normal daily living continues, and an unshakable inner silence is the power behind each word spoken as personal agenda fades out. Whatever happens to your body or in your life is no lasting consequence. It is a movie. Instead of being the one citing the script, you can sit as audience. Whatever you have to do to ensure that you and any dependents have food, clothes, and shelter, you will do. Apart from that, the direct experience of bliss for some, joy for others, happiness, peace, and compassion flow through you like an aroma rising from this state. You will ignore the unpleasant sensations. They are part of the play of form also, but they are passing through and do not pull your attention. Only the personal I triggers reactive preferences of likes and dislikes. In non-identification, no self-judgment takes place. There is rest, and the unchanging self remains unchanged. Nothing attracts your attention because nothing is about you personally. Life continues to happen, but whatever you engage with, there is no longer that density of personal agenda coming from your part in the play of things. Love, Jacqueline. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruby. Yeah, so originally I had, and Eileen, by the way, asked what page we were reading from, and I'm not sure, Eileen, and I don't actually have the book in front of me. I had sent this to Ruby in an email, so I don't have the information. But let me say that originally I sent Ruby another reading from the same book. And it was based on that reading that I wrote the description for this morning's talk. And let's see, who am I and why do I think that is what I what I called the talk. And I just wasn't really happy with that. It was like, this is that you're saying the same thing that you say every time you speak on Sunday, and maybe every time I speak ever in Awakening Together. And then I came across this passage, and this passage made my heart sing. This passage, frankly, describes the end of the journey. As you heard, it's describing our experience of life when we're no longer focused on self-identity. those words just don't seem to do it justice. What I want to do is take a moment and read some limited excerpts from the original reading that I sent to Ruby. But I really appreciate being able to do that from this base of abiding in self that Ruby just shared with us. So so anyway, without further ado, this is from chapter 2 in Jack O'Keefe's book, Born to Be Free. She says, "The private and personal identity of each person relies on memory. This is where we store emotional thoughts, desires, old wounds and grudges, listings of those who have hurt us, pains we have caused, fears, and more. Many life experiences that happen to us as children give rise to damaged and low self-esteem levels. It is not so much the experiences we have had in early life that are important, but how we respond to them and how we integrate these experiences into our life. For example, a child may deduce that if I am beaten, this must mean that I am bad." And I'll stop here and say that I think that we all, you know, we talk about conditioning and what the and what society teaches us about who we are. We have all, or most of us, I haven't met anybody personally who never had the I am bad belief. And it's these early periods of conditioning, these earlier experiences that we had and our responses to them that solidify that I am bad belief. But let me go on. For example, a child may deduce that if I am beaten, this must mean that I am bad. Thus, the pattern of identifying with an experience takes place. Thus, the pattern of identifying with an experience takes place and causes a person to be emotionally sensitive in adult life. And again, I think that, that statement applies to most of us. As a consequence, Everything that happens is about me, telling me if I am good or bad, right or wrong, okay or not okay. Many have a heightened sensitivity to the responses of others and believe that all interactions in daily life tell them something about themselves. And I really think that this is the state most of us find ourselves in. All interactions in daily life tell me something about myself. Everything is about me. So everything has the potential to cause emotional hurt. The mind, without editing, draws its own conclusions about every experience. This way of processing happenings in daily life leads to pain and suffering. The mind can be retrained to stop using external circumstances and experiences to tell a person who he or she is. We want the world to be all about us when we have not consciously realized the truth of who we are. We seek external guidelines to compensate when we fail to make that internal connection. This mental pattern never finds its conclusion. It knows no rest and will never bring redemption. It only leads to pain and suffering. It is a pattern that must be seen for what it is, and in the seeing, it will drop automatically. Thus, it can be transcended, not resolved. This pattern of behavior arises when the mind draws on experiences from the past to offer an unneeded reference point in order to interpret events in the present. Yeah, I feel like I'm reading a lot, but this is what I talked about last time I spoke here in a Sunday gathering. It's this, you know, we talk about the search for meaning of life, but but what we're really doing is using life to tell us who we are. You know, I'm getting it right now. Again, that way of living is looking to the Matrix to tell us who we are. Jack O'Keefe says, experiences come and go, but their impact on you is determined solely by your level of identification with them. For example, if you deduce that something happened to you because you were a bad person, that is your mind identifying with events and seeking to find out more about you from your experiences. In this case, your mind held a belief that you were bad, and you use this belief to interpret an otherwise benign experience to reaffirm a subjective belief. So again, these events occurred to us, whatever events they were. We all had different events. But most of us came away with the belief that those events prove that we're bad. So this is the subjective belief that we walk around with. Good morning, Connie. And we use the experiences that we now have in our present to reaffirm that belief.
What did he say?
No clue.
Oh. What we're really saying to our experiences is, please tell me I'm not what I believe I am. Please tell me I'm not bad. Please tell me I did a good job. But the subjective belief is, I'm bad. And this experience is going to show me whether or not that's true. Jack says, but your experiences cannot tell you who you are. They do not define you in any way. If you think they do, you have confused your identity with your ability to experience. Experience. There is an essential essence, a core within you that is not touchable by any experience. This core essence does not identify with any event, person, or place in your life. This is why happiness cannot be affected by exterior circumstances. Happiness is a fragrance rising from this core essence. This is who you really are. So in asking the question, who am I and why do I think that? Well, I carry around this bundle of experiences. You know, remember that time you did this and remember how bad you screwed it up? Well, let's see if we can fix it. Let's see if we can prove, you know, unprove that, what that seemed to prove. So I asked Ruby to start with this other reading because it shows the real alternative. So this isn't new news. Who am I and why do I think that? I think that because this is what I'm giving my believing attention to. Am I giving my believing attention to the ability of external circumstances to tell me who I am? Or am I disregarding the thoughts that would interpret my experiences in that way and turning within? You know, we opened with an announcement about Dr. Jeffrey Martin, and I'm very curious to hear what he will say tonight in Satsang. And there's 26 different ways, according to that little video we watched, techniques that people use to wake up to the reality of their being. But it seems to me it's all very, it's all very simple. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know who you are. This being still doesn't mean sitting on the meditation cushion. It might mean that. It might, stillness might come there. But it means be still. It means thoughts be still. And and actually, I listened to a very interesting talk this morning by Adya Shanti that says, good luck stopping your thoughts. That's not going to happen. It's stop investing in them. Stop believing them when they come up. Stop believing that they're an accurate measure of who you are. You're looking in the wrong direction for who you are. Be still and the truth will tell you of itself. Be still and the truth will tell you of yourself. You know, I had an incident, I don't know when it was, maybe it was last week, might have been the week before, where I messed up in this barrage of emails I sent to a speaker and thought, oh, I've said the wrong things, and now this person's not going to join us the way that I wanted them to, and you know, and gosh, I'd wish I'd written that email right, and da 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 da, and just really had an attack of you know, this proves that I'm whatever incompetent. worthless, unable to do the job that I've been given to do. I mean, just, you know, and those are the words that I put to it, but the feeling is what stopped me in my tracks. And I wrote about that and I taught about that last Wednesday, about how, for, quite some time, I had been seeing the opportunity to believe the I am bad thought. And just going, that's ridiculous. But I didn't do it that time. And so I was looking at, well, what's the difference here? You know, why was I, all those times, was I able to just go, psh, you know, I'm not buying that. I hear the thought, but I'm not buying that. Well, I can't tell you why I turned and listened to the thought, but that's the difference. This time the thought caught my interest. This time I gave believing attention. I gave belief to the idea that this experience could tell me about who I am. That's the fundamental belief. That experience can tell me who I am. It cannot. As Jack says, your experiences cannot tell you who you are. They do not define you in any way. If you think they do, you have confused your identity with your ability to experience. So we talk about stepping back and being the watcher, and we talk about divesting ourselves of our interest in the personal agenda. We talk about it a lot. The question is, why don't we do it? Really? Is it habit? Maybe. Is it a matter of discipline? Probably. Believing that experience has something to tell us about who we are, it's a miserable road, right? It's a miserable trap. This mental pattern never finds its conclusion. It knows no rest and will never bring redemption. Jack notes that it can be transcended, but not resolved. See, that's the hope. We think, oh, if I just tweak this just a little bit, then I'll become that spiritual person who's always living in the moment, who's always guided by greater. Not if you're listening to the thoughts that purport to tell you something about yourself. These never get resolved. It always need a little bit more tweaking. This is the illusion. This is the confusion about who we are. You know, and then we pull this into our spirituality and we're like, oh, I know better than that. Oh, gosh, I'm horrible at this spiritual stuff. Gosh, I was listening to my thoughts again. It's just the seeing. It's just the seeing of the pattern. It's just the remembering to go, this is not helpful. This tells me nothing of who I am. If I want to know who I am, I need to sit in silence or walk in silence or do my day job in silence, right? In the stillness that's here, in the assuredness that I don't need external events to tell me who I am. This is the consistent reminder. That tells me nothing about who I am. There is no valuable information contained within this experience or within this thought about the experience. Experiences are for having. They're not for interpreting. They're not for telling you who you are. There's no valuable information contained there. Oh, I should have done this or said that. Oh, my goodness. What does this say about nothing? It doesn't tell you anything. Yeah, Lulu says never ending dead endings. That's right. I mean, you can beat yourself up all you want, but why would you do that? Why? When we have the key, when we know what the key is to rest in our beingness, this is the reading that we started with. That which you are is beyond time, beyond all thought. So it is, regardless of whatever you're doing or not doing. Jack says in the reading that Ruby read, from one perspective, there's only one thing that stops you from abiding in the self, the fear of losing your consciousness of existence. From the world of identification, you lose your current experience of the world and your identity within that realm. So relative or individual existence is pulled like a rug from underneath. You know, again, this is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that willingness to live in the wobble, in the, oh, how do I be like that? What? Wait, I don't know who I am. That's right. You don't know who you are. And that same thing that you've relied on for all this time to tell you who you are, how's that working out for you? It's time to recognize that that doesn't work. Let's quit beating our heads against the wall. That doesn't work. It tells us nothing of who we are. So be willing to live in the wobble. Well, what's it feel like to not, like, well, I don't know. Let's find out. Again, Jack says, identification begins to lose its stickiness if you're willing to release your investment in it. This is an active process, this identification with what thoughts have to tell me about me in relation to the experiences I have. That's an active investment. You have to begin to turn to those thoughts and go, no, no, I don't believe that. And in doing that, Jack tells us, a natural acceptance of life unfolds. The harmony and order pertaining to every detail of this physical life is revealed and remains obvious, as if all happens according to what she calls common sense. Normal daily living continues, and an unshakable inner silence is the power behind each action and word spoken as personal agenda fades out. Nothing attracts your attention because nothing is about you personally. Life continues to happen, but whatever you engage with, there is no longer that density of a personal agenda coming from your part in the play of things. So, you know, seeing is letting go. Seeing when I'm identifying with my thoughts, which means seeing when I have an experience and a thought says, oh, you know, you really should have, well, you know, if you were a better person, you would have. Look for those thoughts. Look for them and quit subscribing to them. If you want to know who you are, that's what the silence is for. Turning from those thoughts is resting in silence. And I want to end by, and you all have heard it before, maybe 2-3 times, but I want to end by reading to you the vision plan that I think will be helpful in enabling me to do just what I've been speaking about. So, the spiritual aspiration for me is to live in open-hearted expectation further. And that the vision plan that was written in support of that aspiration is as follows. I look in each moment to discover what meaning I have applied. And look, there's an easy trigger for that, right? Do I feel anything but joy, right? If I feel anything but joy, I look in each moment to discover what meaning I have applied. Because if I'm feeling anything but joy, I guarantee you that I've put a spin on this experience. I have interpreted this experience as telling me something about who I am. And what it's telling me is not the truth. I look in each moment to discover what meaning I have applied. I pause to appreciate what is actually happening in this moment, here and now. I do not compare anything to anything else, right? What would the value of that be? Oh, I'm doing better than Shauna, right? I'm doing better than I did last time, or oh, I'm doing worse than Shauna, or oh, I'm doing worse than I did last time. Shauna, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example. What's the point of comparison? What is that? It's telling me who I am relative to this experience, relative to what I imagine the experience of Shauna to be. I do not compare anything to anything else. I remember the thoughts I hear do not come from my mind, and so I easily dismiss them as unimportant and irrelevant. I joyously participate in each experience by removing my self-concept as the central focus of the experience. I recognize this is not an opportunity to figure out who I am. I just be there. I welcome and rest in the wobble. Who am I? I welcome that. Because you know what I know I'm not doing? I'm not using this experience to tell me something about who I am. I welcome and rest in the wobble because this is where my truth is made welcome. And I did write down one more thing that I want to say before I go over, because I've gone over my time here, but I was talking to Lynn Johnson on the phone the other day, and this thought came to me, and it's a helpful thought, I think. And that is, what I think about me is none of my business. We've often heard it said, what you think about me is none of my business, which is true, but what I think about me is none of my business. What reference point do I have? I don't. There is no reference point. There is no personal center from which I operate. Those are all thoughts. Those are all imagined. The self is, the little self is thought only, concept only, tells me nothing. What I think about me is none of my business. Okay. I'm done. Thank you all for listening, and I will play a song, and then we'll have an opportunity for you guys to share. So let me see if I can pull that up.
Could there be more to this life we call mine than a journey through space? Storyline, more to life than the body can sense, than the mind can conclude from experience. Strip away the ones that we're for. Shall pass. As hard as we try to hold on to form, form will die. But inherent in this dance of form is the chance to see what's yet unborn, the choice to throw this chance away and be caught up in the play. Of who we think we are.
But I did want to leave time for folks to share. That's what this part of the service is for. So Sharon has her hand up, I see. So I'll turn the mic over to you, Sharon.
Okay. Jacqueline, your sharing was phenomenal. And it actually brought tears to my eye. I mean, because of your... What I'm watching and seeing is how we're progressing on this path. And when I listen to you, I am so inspired by you. And it's mostly about your desire and the fact that you're so honest. And the honesty for all of us is necessary because, you know, it's not an easy process. It's simple, but it's not an easy one. So I'm excited about tonight, too. I want to listen to this guy. But I love the book that, you know, of course, you know, I want to buy her book now. Anyway, thank you so much for everything you do for Awakening Together. You're precious.
Thank you, Sharon. That's so sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Born to be Free is Jack's book. It's a sweet little book. It really is. Yeah. Who else would like to share? And if you have raised your hand and I don't see you, feel free to just grab the mic. Lulu.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Yeah, I have a question about the reading that Ruby read. And because it really brings up like the potential healing. One, you know, the desire for liberation, and I'm so grateful that they did this scientific research on the method, you know, because who wants, I want to be right there, cutting edge, you know, despite all the resistance, you know, we want to know that we're not wasting our time, or it's not a waste of time, really, I guess, because it's probably increases the desire within, and you know. So I just wondered if something in the reading Ruby read, if she could take a look back for maybe, because it brings up that's like the biggest fear, like if I, you know, practice watching awareness and breathing and watching and kind of trusting. It brings up the fear, like, about, you know, we talked about in the reading about, like, providing for yourself, you know, food and shelter. And I thought, are there, like, 10 other chapters in this book, Born to Be Free, about how to do that? You know, we just didn't read from that one, and this is just a little piece, what we read. So it brought up, I was wondering if we might be able to look a lot, like, I don't know how much time we have, but what he suggested for that, and is it, and kind of losing my thought here, but because it brings up so much fear for me to try to figure out how I'm going to provide and not, you know, end up under a bridge somewhere if my desire for liberation, I don't know, but ego would quiet then as the desire rises. I like how you pointed out, although I'm a little bit uncomfortable with it still, is, you know, he still doesn't mean, you know, sitting on a couch all day. It might look like that, but it could be out and about, and just seeing the thoughts. So I appreciate you that you made that, you brought that to my attention about that. So thanks again, and thanks for your heart and your authenticity.
Thank you, Lulu. She does talk about, you know, Jack, it's a woman, by the way. I think her name's Jacqueline, but it's J-A-C, Jack O'Keefe. She does say, you know, you will provide for your family. I'm not sure where that is. Right before the service this morning, I was listening to Adi Ashanti, and he made this very distinction. He's like, I'm not saying you have to throw functional thought out the window, but 99% of this mind chatter is just that. It's chatter. You don't have to listen to 99% of what's going on up here. That 99% of that chatter would run you ragged, does run us ragged. 99% of that chatter is interpretation, fear. You know, I take this thing that I take myself to be and I project it into the future and imagine what happens if this doesn't happen or if that doesn't happen or if this does happen or that doesn't, blah, blah, blah. That's 99% of what this mind does. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to balance a checkbook. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to go to work and get instructions from the boss and then perform those instructions on the computer or whatever, you know, however that plays out. We're not talking about being mindless zombies. What we're talking about is getting rid of the chatter. So, the functional thoughts, you know, you just don't go blank. The functional thoughts remain. You still know how to balance a checkbook. You still know how to execute instructions given to you by your boss. You still know to go pick your children up at the right time from school. None of that disappears. The ego's like, you need me. You need me because if you don't, you know, then you're not going to pick your children up. You're going to go bankrupt. You're going to forget how to do what your boss tells you to do. None of that is true. It's a matter of using the mind as a tool instead of being used by the mind by focusing on the chatter and the fear thoughts that exist there. So, okay. It looks like we are 2 minutes past. Sorry, Don. the end of the service. So I am going to turn this back over to you, Don, and folks can then share in fellowship half hour. Go ahead, Don.